It has been 3 weeks since I've got to preach at St. Giles. I am, whew, I'm ready. 2 hours, ready? Here we go. I'll try not. I want to show you a couple pictures from our trip. I'm hoping that Keith James and I will get a chance to do a little more of a formal tell you what happened in Uganda, but I want to show you some pictures of some of the kids we got to be with, because that's what it was all about, was the kids. The rumors of this picture are kind of funny, because we got to teach at a public school, and they started down the hill from us, and then somebody said, why don't everybody just come up here, because they couldn't hear. These children came at me like Samoan rugby players. I thought I was going down. They were fast. Fortunately, I did not, but they were amazing, and you know what? I discovered a spiritual gift I did not have, and that is controlling about 1,000 10-year-olds, because they are 10-year-olds, especially in a different language. These kiddos, these are a few of the kids that we have at one of, that Peter's Heart sponsors at one of the schools. And sometimes it's hard to tell because a lot of the kids all shave their heads. And so the three in the front there are girls. And then the fella in the back, Drake, he's kind of got stuck behind there. But I wanted them to say hi to Addie, and they said, let's take a selfie. So kids in Uganda are really about selfies as well. And they're really good at it. And they told me that I'm supposed to hold it higher. And they're right, as I found out. This is another one of the schools with kids that Peter's Heart sponsors. And the reason I'm showing you these pictures is because in each one of these places, I alluded to this a couple weeks ago in the first service, I had this moment happen a few times where I would sit there and look out at these kids, and it was as if the heart of the Father would hit me with such weight. I had to do everything I could do to just not break in the moment. I mean, just such a weight. It would have been awkward because all of these were joyful experiences. So you've got, you know, the white pastor in the corner weeping while everybody's having a good time. That is not what we wanted. But it was so heavy. It was so heavy. Just every time it was as if just the Father was saying, I love them. I love them so much. And I just knew it in every fiber of my being to be true. And it happened place after place after place. You've probably heard the old adage about perception, right? There's the way that you see yourself. There's the way that you think others see you. And then there's a third one. What is it? Well, there's the way God... Well, you guys beat me to the... There's the way others actually see you, right? But when we apply this to God, it takes on a whole life of its own. It takes on a whole life of its own. And that's what I want to talk about, because we can live our whole lives wondering what others think about us, how others see us. And we can wonder that about God, too. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're reading God's word, you don't have to guess at how God sees you. You don't have to guess. It tells us how God sees us. We're going to read it here in just a second. And good news that in Christ, the way your heavenly Father sees you is amazing. As a matter of fact, I think if we had a full glimpse of how wonderful he is, how he really sees you, we'd still be on the ground. Good Father would still have us just weeping on the ground. How perfect his love is for us. But that's what I want to discuss this morning. And we're going to do this through the book of Ephesians. And more about that in just a minute. But we're going to read chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. I'm going to really focus on verses 3 to 8. So pay attention, 3 to 8. I want you to get the full context. We're going to be in Ephesians for a while, but I didn't want us to be in here till next year. So we're going to take it in chunks, okay? Larger chunks than usual. So if you'll join me, we're going to be Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and it begins like this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he's made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. Did you get all that? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's a lot. It's a lot. Amen. That's why we're just going to focus in on 3-8. It's rich. It's so rich. Some call Ephesians Romans in miniature. You get no less. You just get it a lot faster. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we need help with your word this morning. And the truths that are in it, they could have us on the ground all day if our hearts really got it. Change our lives. Jesus, we're here. We're listening. Would you change our lives this morning? Transform us. We ask it in your name. Amen. Well, as I'm alluding to, we're beginning a new series in Ephesians, and it's titled Faithful in Christ, and it's taken right after that first verse in Ephesians. Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians, whom he calls the faithful in Jesus Christ. But more specifically, what I want to do with this time is to spend our time answering that question, what does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? In just six short chapters, Paul writes this phrase, in Christ, right around 35 times in Ephesians. That's a lot, right? That's a lot. I would say probably the most popular song that's been written in church culture over the past 20 years, maybe even 50 years, has been In Christ Alone, right? It is, the popularity of that song is enormous. What on earth does it mean to be in Christ alone? What does it mean? That's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at some of these specific moments in Ephesians when Paul says, in Christ, you are in Christ, and how that changes us and changes who we're becoming. So to begin, Paul opens this letter with this just this beautiful praise. This whole thing's a prayer. Did you notice that? He's praying this. He's not informing. He's praising God for who God is. And he's giving this clear picture, though, of what our standing is with God in Christ. In Christ. What happens here is just phenomenal. And it happens to be a really great place to start a sermon series, fortunately. Because before we move forward with who we are in Christ, we need to know, what does God see when he sees us, right? Which gets to that question, how do others really see me? That's a question of the heart. How does somebody really see me? And once again, when we apply that onto God, we do this the same way we do with other people, right? We interpret it through our experiences and our own intuition. I think she sees me like this. I think he sees me like this. I think when God sees me, he sees what? I think unfortunately sometimes we answer that question, I wonder when God sees me if he's angry at me. I wonder when God sees me if he's disappointed with me. if he's weary of me. You know, sometimes we may look at all the stars in the heavens, trillions of stars in the heavens, and realize they're by his hand, right? This is the dark side of he's got the whole world in his hands, is that we might start feeling very insignificant to all of creation. And now we're asking, I wonder if he even sees me. I wonder if he even sees me. You know, he's got a lot on his plate. I'm not even a crumb on the dessert plate of God. And this is critical because the way we perceive how God sees us impacts deeply how we live in Christ. Amen? It's going to shape everything. That's why we have to start here. We have to start with, well, how does God see you? And we occasionally have these thoughts now. I bet you've had these moments where we say, had I known it was going to be this hard, I never would have done it. Anybody ever had one of those moments where you got in the middle of something and said, had I known it was going to be this hard, I never would have done it. In a previous home, we had a bathroom in the basement that needed some serious work. And so you know what I decided to do? I'm going to refinish that bathroom all by myself. I've got YouTube. What could go wrong, right? About midway through working on that bathroom, you know what I discovered? There are a lot of things I didn't know that could go wrong. When you try, as a matter of fact, there is a whole list of things that I didn't know that can go wrong when you try to do these things on your own. Things that will break that you're like, I didn't even know that was in there, and now I broke it. It was one of those moments in life where I said, had I known it was going to be this hard, I never would have started this. Let me tell you what, when God looks at you, he never says that. He never looks at you and says, had I known Josh was going to be this much of a mess, I never would have blessed that womb, right? He never looks at you and goes, oops, ever. How do we know that? Because Paul tells us. He tells us in his womb, doesn't he? Or in his word, not his womb. He tells us, verse 3, says Ephesians 1:1. Don't believe the title. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before what? The creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. If he chose us before the creation of the world, what say did you have in it? You didn't have any say. This is incredible insight. It means that he chose you before you could respond. He loved you before you could love him back. In other words, there is nothing you could have done to earn God's love. Therefore, you are, and you're going to hate to say this, but you are powerless to change his affection toward you. You have zero control. None. You cannot alter God's affections toward you. You couldn't before the beginning of the world, and I most certainly can tell you, you can't now. That's what grace is, right? That he chooses to love us. He chooses it of his own volition. He wants to do it. But more than that, he didn't just choose you. He chose you to be holy and blameless. Holy meaning that you're set apart to be in his presence, which is a whole other sermon. But that's where he wants you, in his presence. But blameless meaning that before creation, he says, they will have blame, right? He chose you to be blameless knowing that you're going to need an out. You're going to need something there. And so that means that before you ever existed, he chose you and chose to love you knowing what the cost would be. And he still said, once again, let's do it. Let's do it. He chose you knowing the cost. First thing you need to know about when you're standing before God, He loves you, and he has loved you before you could ever love him back. It is out of his desire to love you. The second thing you need to know, and this ties in, is God chooses us, pursues us, and loves us. Why? Because he's sovereign. He's sovereign. Verse 11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. Verse 5 told us, when we read it earlier, in accordance with his pleasure and will. What does his pleasure and will look like? Look back to verse 3. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That feels significant, doesn't it? Are you with me this morning, St. Giles? Does that feel significant? Every spiritual blessing? Verse 7 goes on to say, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. He lavished on us. That feels like a wonderful word. It makes me feel good that God lavishes his grace on me. It just pours it and pours it and pours it and pours it. It says, hey, have you had enough yet? This reminds me, we were in Uganda and we had this plate of food at a host's house. It was Pastor Isaac. He visited with us a few months ago. And we're sitting there and I'm thinking, there's no way I can possibly eat all this food. And they're saying, would you like some more? And we're saying, we don't want any more. So what does he do? He brings a plate of food around, and while I'm sitting there eating, he says, well, I hope you're doing good today. And he doesn't ask me anymore if I want any more of his wonderful food. He just starts putting it on my plate. He starts lavishing me with food. You can't stop me from putting more on your plate. That's what it means that God lavishes you with his mercy. You can't stop him. He keeps doing it. I've had enough, Lord. Be quiet and let me continue lavishing you with my love. I love you so much. I love you so much. So much. In other words, in God's authority, even though we don't deserve it, we couldn't earn it, in his sovereignty, he declares, you are mine to bless. Let me say that once again. You are mine to bless. But with all this predestination talk, where does free will fit into all this? What if I don't want it? Let me talk about what free will is, okay? I want you to imagine with me that there's a mother who steps out of the house and beckons her toddler. It's time to come in. And the toddler turns around defiantly to her mother and says, I will not go in. The mother, undaunted. Playtime's over. It's time to come inside. The toddler doubles down. I will not come in. I'm running away. And so the toddler grabs her wagon, blanket, stuffed animals, the necessities, starts walking away. And then she has this moment of clarity, and she turns back and says, Mama, before I leave, will you make me a sandwich? That's free will. That's free will. Can you turn your back and run away on God? Absolutely. Of course you can. You can walk away from God. You're allowed. He lets you. But can you escape his sovereign and caring hand that desires redemption in your life? No, you cannot. No, you cannot. It's impossible. That is your standing before God in Christ. His desire is that you would, through obedience and repentance, step fully into the freedom of your inheritance. Which kind of gives us the last point here. God's done this before the beginning of all creation. He does it out of his good pleasure and will. But what do we call all of this? Verse 5, adoption. We call it adoption. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. I've spoken about this before. Why sonship? Why not son and daughter? We can still claim son and daughter titles, but the sonship piece is important here, because in biblical times, who gets the inheritance? The sons, the firstborn. That's right. What Paul is saying is that in Christ, God has placed upon you by his good will and his good pleasure before the dawn of the world, every spiritual blessing in heaven. All of it. What does that mean? That means in Christ, you get redemption, you get holiness, you get forgiveness, you get reinstatement of relationship as a son or daughter to the Father, you get hope eternal, the gift of the Spirit, the presence of Christ, the communion of the body, the freedom from sin and death, you get the abolishment of shame and guilt, you get a new heart, a new purpose, you get a new creation, you get all of it. There are no package deals. You get the first four if you act today. You get the next group if you... No, you get all of it in Jesus. You get every single bit of it. You get every blessing in the heavens. In other words, you get the kingdom of God as an inheritance. All of it. All of it. That he declares over you for no reason but his own, you are mine to bless. Let me tell you a story. In Uganda, we got a chance to go through one of the slums, and that was a hard day, but a good day. Got to meet a lot of the families who have kids that are in schools through Peter's Heart. One particular place we went to was a challenging place. So a lot of the kids... and they're like a grandfather figure and a mother. No dads, a lot of no dad situations, unfortunately. And what was hard about this is the mother supported the family by means of what the Ugandans would call she was a lady of the night. That's how she supported her family. One of her sons was in a boarding school nearby. The boarding schools are kind of a remnant of English past, but it really works out well. Because in a lot of these situations, the kids are able to really focus on their education instead of having to go back and forth to a pretty hard environment that their families are in. But we got to spend time with this family, and then we got to spend time with the mother even later that day because she and some other moms came over to Peter's Heart headquarters. Her name is Sarah. She's a quiet, gentle soul that's really trapped in a pretty awful situation. She's a daughter of the King. But she's having a hard time learning what that means. But I got to share with her that we met her son earlier that day. And I hadn't planned on this because we went to a school where there was about 10 kids that Peter's Heart sponsors. And this little guy and I suddenly hit it off. And we were having a great time. And what happened as time went on is slowly he would just start holding onto my arm. And he would just get closer and hold onto my arm. I think he was kind of fascinated with the hair on my arm, too. He kept like kind of doing that number. But then what happened is the arm got pulled around. And then the head would sit here. And then the arm would get squeezed tight. And this is how I spent most of my time there, was with my arm around Augustine. And he would just sit there and never said a word, ever. I talked to him a lot, but he didn't say anything back. It was almost like he was demanding affection, right? Like I gave him a little, he risked going in for a lot. Came a point where I needed to talk to some of the adults, and so kind of pat him on the head, and I walked over and got to meet some other folks there, and then it was time to go. And he came over to me, and to my shock, in perfect English, said, "Are you leaving?" And I said, yeah, I gotta go, but boy, I really want to come back here and see how you're doing soon. Is that okay with you? And he said, yeah, and I could tell he was struggling with it. Those father heart moments that I was telling you about, I got one right there. And I'm like, what do I do? And I thought, I should bless this kid. I should say a blessing over this kid. And then my thought there was, but he's not mine to bless. He's not mine to bless. This is not my kid. I'm not even part of Peter's Heart. I'm just here visiting. I'm a pastor from some place this kid's never even heard of. He's not mine to bless. And the second that thought finished, a counter thought came right in. But he is mine to bless. He is mine to bless. And if I want to bless him through you, then that's what I'm going to do. And so that's what we did. had one of the Peter's Heart brothers came over and helped me out with it. And I put my hands on his shoulders and asked him, could I bless him? And he said, yeah. And so he postured himself to receive a blessing, 8 years old. And I blessed him with his name. I told him who St. Augustine was. And I said, Augustine, I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would be a man who is wise and intelligent, that you would know right from wrong, that you would be a man that others look up to because you are so wise and that they could follow you and that you would step every single day into your identity as a son of the King. And he received every single word of it, every single word of it. Now let me ask you, do you hope Augustine will receive that blessing? I do too. I pray for it every day that Augustine will receive that blessing and that he will be shaped by his heavenly Father. But let me tell you what. Here's something I learned on that trip after I got back and doing some reflection. Just as much as the Lord kept saying over and over, I love them, I love them so much. Father said, you know what, Josh? I love everyone so much. And just as much as you and I hope Augustine will receive that blessing, today the Father hopes that you will receive his deep, deep love for you and that you will hear it. I love you so much. I have loved you before the beginning of the world, that in Christ your standing with me is one that I call you son or I call you daughter. And I'm giving you everything I've got. Everything. Will you receive it? As we sang earlier, will you go deeper and deeper still into love, love, love? Just as much as it makes sense for us to ache for this child in Uganda to receive the Father's love, this morning he aches for you to receive his love. What do you say to that? You say what Paul said, who started this whole conversation off with praise, right? So praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, we praise you that you have said yes to us before we could ever say yes in return, that you have loved us before we could even know what love means, that you have pursued us, that you have adopted us, that you have called us your own. Lord Jesus, it almost feels like a fairy tale, but it's not. It's the gospel. It's the good news in Jesus Christ. All we can say is thank you. And Lord, I pray over each one of us this week, would you hit us with a moment of just the weight of your heart for us? And may it shape us, transform us. May it open our eyes to those around us whom you also love so much. Would you change our lives as we just keep growing this new identity of being a new creation in your Son? We believe, help our unbelief. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.